Be with Dr. John Cook this week. It is the 12th, May the 12th. So if you're hearing this May the 12th between 7:30 and 9 o'clock in the morning, we are live. Studio number here, 201-6955. That's 201-6955 in the 864 area code. Today we'll talk about whether or not categorizing politics by left and right is really an accurate way to trace politics. We'll talk about whether or not we have a chance of changing America by voting for third party. Many people are very skeptical about that. And some have questioned whether or not the state is ordained by God to promote his law. Today we'll question whether or not the institutionalized church is actually ordained by God. And Dr. Stephen Yates will call in to talk about what a Christian worldview really is. Right now we've got the weather from Dr. John Coben.
Well, the weather outside is not frightful. Actually, this morning we got around 59 or 60 degrees, depending where you are in the upstate. Going up to a high, they say today, of 89 degrees, mostly sunny skies.
Whoa.
Not sure that's going to be the case. Once again, yesterday I was right when they predicted it would be a high of 83. It was in the low 90s, as far as I could tell, at least where I was in downtown Greenville yesterday. But if you're getting ready to go to work, just know that you've got a warm, sunny day ahead of you.
Well, after being stranded up north for about 7 years, I've been looking forward to a nice hot summer.
It's hard to survive among Yankees.
Yeah, it was tough. I had to get out of there.
Yeah, well, I can understand exactly why. Well, what's our first thing up on? We're going to talk about left and right, or we want to jump right into some of our topics about the church and so forth.
Well, you're the boss.
Well, this article by Ben Graydon, since you mentioned it, if you have an opportunity to get this week's Times Examiner, in fact, I just need to give you a plug about
Times
Examiner.
I was wondering about that. How could I go about getting a copy of the Times Examiner?
Were you wondering? Well, you know, if you listen long enough to the show, you eventually will hear me talk about this magazine, this newspaper. $25 a year, $27 a year if you're out of state. That means all Christian Exodus people must be on the mailing list. How can you beat the price? I mean, they deliver a newspaper to you every week for $25 or $27.
And by the way, this is like a real paper here.
Yeah.
This isn't like somebody printed in their basement off of, you know, 8.5 by 11 paper.
It's even got color on the front and back page. I mean, it's pretty top drawer stuff. Any rate, you can pick up a copy at 44 Pine Knoll Drive in Greenville, or you can call Bob or Laverl at 864-268-0576. It's 864-268-0576. Of course, my favorite two pages in the Times Examiner every week are page number 7 and page number 10. Page number 10 has a special place in my heart, not only because they moved Tony Beam off of that page and instead replaced him with Joseph Sobrin, but because the Tyranny Response Unit article, Dr. John Coben, that's me, by the way, if you didn't
wait,
know.
Wait.
My article's always on page 10, so I like that page.
Who's Tony Beam?
They did pollute it with Mark Sand. We won't put any. Tony's a great guy. We're just not going to. We're not going to say anything more about it other than we're talking about his articles. Mark Sanford is a purported libertarian. He's really not. He's sort of a confused politician like all of them. He's on the page, too. He dirties it up a little bit, but you can ignore that one if you'd like.
But Sanford, is he the governor?
He's the governor, that's right.
Okay. I'm new here, so I'm...
Well, yeah, I appreciate you asking. A lot of people don't know who Mark Sanford is. He's the one that's here.
Didn't he have a TV show with his son or something?
Sanford and Son? Yeah, Sanford and Son. I think that, yeah. Is he black? I don't know. Yeah, maybe he's not. No, okay.
Oh, that's Walter Williams.
Yeah. No. Well, that now, speaking of Walter Williams, on page 7, that's my other favorite page to go to. You've got Walter Williams, Thomas Sowell, and you have Ben Graydon. I read all of them faithfully. Also, actually, this woman here, Michelle Malkin, is on the page frequently on page 7, and she's very good. Why I'm not a South Park conservative. At any rate, there are many good columnists here, and you need to get a copy of the Times Examiner coming to your home, 864-268-0576.
They actually have a website that's up, but it looks like it's still under construction, but what's up?
They're unfortunately kind of like the Tyranny Response Network, run by volunteers, and it's interesting to watch the Little Old Republican Ladies Club show up there on Tuesday night. It's cute, and they're very dedicated women, and they go there to fold the papers and mail them out that night so it can arrive in your mailbox on Wednesday morning.
Each paper is hand-folded.
It's hand-folded, believe it or not. Hand-taped and all that delicately by a little old lady. And they are wonderfully sweet little old ladies, by the way, that do that work. We really appreciate their efforts down there.
Well, I hope that they're wearing gloves so the government can't... or the ATF or whatever, can't trace them by their fingerprints on the paper.
Well, this other reason is that there might be an environmental issue there. They need to be very careful about the ink they touch and so forth. You just never know what goes on at the Times Examiner. And probably the leftists might even, you know, put anthrax in something over there. They don't like the Times Examiner here in town. Well, this week we had the Institutional Inertia article by Ben Graydon. Now, this is an interesting article. I encourage you to read it. There's very, you know, most of the time, Ben and I really think right on the money, right on the line with each other. And this article, we aren't too far apart, but there's a few things that he raises that I differ with, and you may differ with. I don't know, Richie. We'll talk about it. Ben, of course, is a great guy working on the same side as we are here at the Tyranny Response Network. But he has this interesting article about the church, the institutionalized church, especially the church that is a 501c3 government-created charity, in view as not being established by God. He says that the traditional view, which is found in the Westminster Confession, I shouldn't say the traditional view, one of the traditional views, is that there are three aspects of God's kingdom on earth that are manifest in its institutions. One is the family, the other is the church, and the third is the state. Now, the liberty of conscience perspective is always disputed whether or not the state should be part of the kingdom-enhancing function of God's work in the world. There's some doubt about it. There's some question. We've talked about that a lot on Christian Worldview. Well, Ben agrees that the state should not be included in the list of things, of institutions of God in the world for promoting his kingdom. For instance, promoting and forcing people to conform to the Ten Commandments. We one item of that, a possibility. But what he says is not only that the institutionalized church that many people call home, those brick-walled buildings with spires and so forth in every town, this local institution is also not part of the kingdom of God. I'm going to agree with Ben, and I'll turn it over to you here, Richie. I'm going to agree with Ben in saying that the 501c3 thing is a fraud. Churches should not be involved with getting 501c status. They don't need permission from the state or protection from the state in any way, shape, or form. It's a mistake to have this. It allows the state a backdoor entrance into the church to control the church. I think that's wrong. And as far as the 501c3 status goes, that is not ordained by God. It's very satanic and slippery as far as I'm concerned. However, the church itself is an institution of God. I mean, after all, didn't Jesus tell Peter, your name is Peter, and on this rock I will build my church? And I'm not being a Roman Catholic here this morning, folks. That's just what the Bible teaches. So
Peter was the first pope.
But
which means, of course, he was celibate. But at the same time, it talks about his mother-in-law.
Yeah.
Well, and if you have a mother-in-law and no wife, that's really a raw deal.
Well, he either was divorced or had an alternative lifestyle, that's all. And then he wasn't really married, as far as the Catholic Church is concerned. Catholic priests can have an alternative lifestyle, apparently, because we hear a lot about that sort of thing. And you can read between the lines and understand what I mean by alternative lifestyle. Probably members of the Man Boy Love Association and a few other things. Those papists are
just went over the edge, buddy.
Yeah, well, I have a real warm spot in my heart for papists because I'm a reformed Christian. I look at what happened at the Reformation as being something significant and important, and things like evangelicals and Catholics together really irk me because we're giving up the basic foundations of the faith to go back to have some sort of association with the harlot mother.
Yeah, I definitely have some serious problems with a lot of the doctrine of the Catholic Church.
Right. Good. I'm glad to hear that.
But nevertheless, as you were saying.
Well, anyway, we want to go back to focus on what Ben Ben is saying here. Is the organized institution of the church a member of one of the things that God ordains in the world to promote his kingdom? I think that it is. And I know Ben would promote home-style churches. I'm not necessarily against home-style churches, although one has to wonder, well, how do you, like one of our producers said this morning, how do you go and choose ye among you seven men who have, holy and good character to be deacons? How do you perform church discipline? There are a number of issues that are raised when you have such an isolated group of families acting as for the church. So those are some questions that could be raised. If you're interested in calling the show to discuss it, we'd be happy to hear from you. 864-201-6955. Our other studio line is down this morning, out for repairs. And so we're using our backup line only today, 864-201-6955. Well, what do you think, Rich? Is there any comment you might have on the church issue?
Well, I just definitely agree that the 501c3 thing is bad news. It's basically, putting a restraint on the church, and of course, recently we had a guy, big news stories in North Carolina, where the guy said, it was wrong to vote for John Kerry, and you should repent or whatever, and that was, they made a big deal out of that and talked like that was the end of the world. But in this nation, the churches during the Revolutionary War, they spoke out on politics quite a bit. King George III called the War of Independence, the Presbyterian Parsons Revolution. Mm. So to say that churches,
watch out for those Presbyterians, by the way. You never know.
Yeah, they're bad news.
Yep.
To say now that churches can't speak out on politics is saying that they can't do what they were doing when this nation was founded. So it's absolutely I think it's ridiculous, and I you know, sometimes I wish that the churches were not tax exempt at all, because maybe if these churches had to pay taxes and these pastors had to pay taxes, they would be more likely to speak out on these issues.
Now, for what I understand, they're still tax exempt whether or not they have 501c3 status or not.
We know, I actually attended the church in Binghamton, New York, that when Clinton was running for office the first time, they took out a full page ad, and I believe it was the USA Today or one of those big papers, saying Christians, to if you vote for Clinton, you're sinning against God. And IRS came after that church, this church that I attended up there for a while. And so they dropped their 501c3 and just went unincorporated.
Yeah. Wow. Well, I think it's that's the way to go. I don't think there really should be any kind of state-sanctioned liability protection or anything else. So I guess what we're both saying here, Richie, is we agree with Ben in the large part about 501c3 government-created charities or churches, and that we agree that the state should not be inhibiting the church and what it can say and preach, and that churches should have the backbone, and pastors should have the backbone to stand up against the state and not do its bidding. On the other hand, we don't agree with Ben that the institutionalized church in some form, regardless of the fact that there are bad churches out there and institutions which should not be part of the institution of that we're considering in Scripture, there really is an ordained institution of God called the church.
Look at the early church, and you had, I mean, there were definitely people in charge. There was positions of authority. There was a leadership and all that, and it was definitely more than just a family or two meeting in a house.
Right. Well, at any rate, we'd appreciate your phone calls and input on this. We know it's early in the show, and quite often we don't have as many callers early or listeners early because there are just so many people who are still rising from the bed. But at any rate, we're happy that if you can give us a call and talk about this very important issue in the Christian worldview. These things do have an impact, by the way, folks. You need to have a solid Christian worldview, a good basis for your theology in order to understand other things, including public policy theology. After all, what would our public policy theology be if there were no such thing as an institutionalized church? I think it makes a big difference if, in fact, churches are doing what they're supposed to do, calling men on the carpet to repent for their sins, and God ordains this institution to have a role in the world of actually talking to government leaders, as John Knox did, or otherwise. So, well, at any rate, we do appreciate very much the article by Ben Davis, the thought-provoking article. And we have a caller on the line. We'd like to welcome you this morning to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. You're on the air.
Yes. I apologize. I don't have any comments about what you're talking about. But I just want to let you guys know it's like you're on a bad cell phone. I can hear like one or two words, and then you cut out for a few seconds, and then you come back on. And
are you listening on the radio or the internet?
I don't know if there's something you can do to fix it, but...
Well, I appreciate that. Are you talking about the radio transmission or the webcast?
The radio transmission.
Okay. Wow. I'm sorry about that. We're are you driving along or are you at home?
I'm at home.
Okay. Well, we will definitely pass that word along to the production staff. In fact, when we go to a break here, we'll give them a call and give them the report. We want to make sure that things are hearable. Yeah, and actually, here in Greenville, we are upgrading and changing a bit our transmission facilities at the Tyranny Response Network, and so there could be some issues with that this morning. But I really appreciate the call. And what's your name, by the way?
My name is Jan.
Okay, Jan. Well, thanks so much for calling in this morning.
Do you
believe the church? Are you still there?
Yes. Uh-huh.
Do you believe the church is an institution ordained by God to promote?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay. So
I probably could comment on that. That I heard so much of what you guys were saying because of your cutting in and out. That I believe that ministers have the right to say what is established in the Word of God to the congregation. If the congregation doesn't like it.
Mm-hmm.
Then they can choose to go somewhere else, but I don't think the government should in any way limit what a pastor speaking from the Word of God could say to his congregation.
Right, but the deeper question this morning is from Ben Graydon's article, where he actually says that the church is not, only the family is ordained by God to promote the kingdom of God in the world. He rejects the idea, as many do, that the state is also ordained by God to do that, and he also further rejects the institutionalized church is not ordained by God. It's not a God-ordained institution. So you wouldn't agree with that either, it sounds like.
Right.
Or maybe you would.
I've not given that much thought.
Okay. Well, I threw a curveball at you. You weren't calling in to talk about that. You hadn't heard about the what we were talking about here this morning, so I just thought I'd ask you since I had you on the line, Jan, but I do appreciate the call this morning.
Sure, absolutely.
And well,
enjoy your show.
Thanks so much for calling. We appreciate the kudos, too.
Bye-bye.
And you're listening to Christian Worldview. It sounds like we better go to a break, and we're going to go ahead and do that right now. We're going to take a break, and we're going to try to sort out. Maybe we'll take a long break with lots of new quotations this morning to fill up your ear with ear candy. And we'll come back to you in just a few minutes.
You're listening to TRN. Disinfecting the Modern Mainstream Media. Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. Many of you know that the Tyranny Response Network is listener-supported, and here's Gene Papke to tell you how you can support the Tyranny Response Network.
That's right, John. Folks, if you support TRN and you want to help financially, here's how. We at TRN are a listener-supported broadcast, but we don't take a notions, potions, and lotions approach to fundraising. If you own, operate, or work for a company with bad paper, that is, non-performing assets, we can turn that garbage into gold. Simply go to our website, NPPros, that's N as in non, P as in profit, P-R-O-S as in professionals, your non-profit professionals, that's NPPros.com. And remember, we raise funds, but without fundraisers.
Log on today to www.npros.com and find out how you can be a vital part in supporting the Tyranny Response Network. Warning, Dr. Coben's show is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. Is it okay for a Christian to become wealthy? Did you know that 8 out of 10 Americans will face retirement with little or no savings, even Americans who had good incomes? At Integrity Group, we are dedicated to providing personalized service, finding effective ways to protect and increase your hard-earned money. Integrity Group is an independent financial planning firm that offers a wide range of services. We specialize in finding creative, custom solutions to meet the needs of each individual. Do you have concerns about providing for your retirement? Do you want to ensure that catastrophes like disability or long-term care will not wipe out your savings? Do you need to have your assets protected from creditors? Do you want tax-advantaged growth of your savings? At Integrity Group, we recognize that time passes all too quickly. Sound financial planning is not something to be delayed. Our offices are located at 514 Pettigrew Street in downtown Greenville. Make an appointment with Integrity Group today at 864-244-6464. That's 864-244-6464.
Comes with tofu sticks, scissors. Pizza Palace, guaranteed hot in 30 minutes or it's free. This is Mary. May I take your order?
Hi, Mary. Yes, I'd like to order.
Is this Mr. Kelly?
Yes.
Thank you for calling again, sir. I share your national identification number is 610-204-9998-45-54610. Is that correct?
Yes.
Thank you, Mr. Kelly. I see you live at 736 Montrose Court, but you're calling from your cell phone. Are you at home?
I'm just leaving work, but I'm...
Oh, we can deliver to Bob's Auto Supply. That's at 175 Lincoln Avenue, yes?
No, I'm on my way home. How do you know all this stuff?
We just got wired into the system, sir.
Oh, well, I'd like to order a couple of your double meat special pizzas.
Sure thing. There'll be a new $20 charge for those, sir.
What do you mean?
Sir, the system shows me that your medical records indicate that you have high blood pressure and extremely high cholesterol. Luckily, we have a new agreement with your national health care provider that allows us to sell you double meat pies as long as you agree to waive all future claims of liability.
What?
Do you agree, sir? You can sign the form when we deliver, but there is a charge for processing. The total is $67 even.
$67?
Well, that includes the delivery surcharge of $15 to cover the added risk to our driver of traveling through an orange zone.
I live in an orange zone?
Now you do. Looks like there was another robbery on Montrose yesterday. You could save $48 if you ordered our special Sprout Submarine Combo and picked it up yourself. Comes with tofu sticks. Those are very tasty, sir. Good value, too.
But I want double meat.
Well, I'm sure you can afford the $67, then. You just bought those tickets to Hawaii. They weren't cheap, eh? Oh, but I see you checked out the budget beach bum at the library last week. Up to you, sir.
All right. I'll get the Sprout subs.
Good choice, sir. Gotta watch that waist if you're hitting the beach, eh? 42 inches. Wow. Man, I'd say tofu and sprouts is, like, required.
That's how much?
Just between you and me, there's a $3 off coupon in this month's Total Men's Fitness magazine. Your wife, Betty, subscribes to that, right? Anyhow, clip that and it's $19.99 even. Whoa, looks like you maxed out on all your credit cards. Bring cash, okay?
Welcome back to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We're live here from 7:30 to 9 o'clock weekday morning. So if you're listening during that time slot, we are live. Studio number 201-6955. That's 201-6955. The website, yes, we have a website now, tyrannyresponse.com. That's tyrannyresponse.com. If you're a victim of public school education, tyranny is spelled T-Y-R-A-N-N. Why? At least I hope that's the way it's spelled, because that's the way I reserve the domain name. All right. Today we're going to talk about whether or not...
Did you check the dictionary first before you did that, Richie?
I did spell checker on the computer.
Well, if we assume the spell checker's got it right...
Houston, we have a call. This is exciting. Hopefully it's not the wrong number.
Okay.
Again?
Well, go ahead.
Caller, you're on the air.
Yes, good morning. How are you doing this morning?
Doing good.
Who are we speaking to this morning?
It's Paul from Atlanta.
Oh, yes, Paul. We who listens from the webcast all the way down to Atlanta. It's amazing how webcasts can go that far, but we're glad that it is.
What's on your... Yeah, you're responsible for work charges today. I'm supposed to be at work, but I'm listening to y'all.
Well, what a
excellent choice.
Yeah, it's a much better, more wholesome thing to do this than go to work. I mean, after all, going to work, you're just going to end up paying some more Social Security tax or having the government regulate you or harass you in some way. And this is a little bit of relief. It's like a little island of oasis or, a place you can have some rest for your weary day.
That's it. Well, you always got to be careful careful about other people getting your money. Always have to be on the lookout for that. And I was calling to see if you had been watching the national ID that passed the Senate yesterday.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we're very concerned about that. What are your thoughts? How do we solve that problem, Paul?
I don't know. I may have been a born pest, or maybe not. I'm surely growing into one as I grow older. It seems like there's no stopping them. They wouldn't vote for the on a single issue. They stuck it in the appropriations bill, and of course, everybody wants to fight terrorism and make sure our troops have warm meals and USO trips and all that. So,
well, what do we do?
They're pretty tricky. They are pretty tricky.
Well, what do we do, Paul, about this? I mean, do we actually rebel against them? Is this an item that Christians and other freedom lovers should just rebel against and say, when they come up with a national ID, we're just not going to do it?
Well, I'm sure they're... I mean, it's just a new bill, of course, and they haven't finished doing the regulations and passing that. But I would be suspect for a wily patriot, there'd be ways to protect some of your freedom, some privacy. But it's more... We have a de facto national ID card anyhow. You know, passports and I call them domestic passports. Driver's license. That certainly is. I think they're good domestic passports. If you don't have one and you try to drive a car, you know, they get you. So, but these are going to, I think they're going to, record medical history, your entertainment, if you buy things, they're going to record that somehow. It's going to be a national database if you go and buy food or anything you buy, I suspect, you know, furniture, clothes, what kind of information you read, books, magazines, are all going to, it's going to be recorded and used against you whenever, you know, the powered beasts need something to get you.
Right. Well, we don't like that here at the Christian
Movement. I don't like it either. Maybe we have to move to, Antarctica or something, you know?
Well, is this something we should actually take up arms about? I mean, are we to the point where this is so bad that we want to actually rebel against the state and just refuse? Or are we just going to passively say, we're not going to accept this thing and come whatever consequences there may be? I mean, are we going to be able to work without a national ID card? I mean, how far do you think we should go? Have you thought about it? I mean, we really have to have some sort of plan here at some point.
Well, at some point, everything gets, what, push comes to shove, I guess, sooner or later. Mm-hmm. Just when the majority of people ever wake up, or you know, when God's had enough, one or the other. I don't know both. I don't know, but just a handful of people. Just a handful. I don't see how a handful of people can do anything except make the establishment that much stronger. You know, like, you know what I'm saying? Like the Rudolph folks or this Nichols person over here in Decatur, Georgia. He shot the sheriff, and not the sheriff, but shot the judge and the bailiff and a customs officer. That's just, you know, he's rebelling. Certainly wrong, but. But what's going to make this going to make it worse for the rest of us? So,
well,
armed resistance needs to be a lot of people, just a handful of people. This is going to make things worse.
Okay, well, I agree with that. We're not talking about Rudolph or these kinds of these people are counterproductive to what we're
exactly.
But
they're probably wrong. Also, don't get me wrong. I mean, I'm not that I support them in any way. I mean, I don't know what their true motives are. You know, who knows.
Well, Paul, I'm thinking of the handful of Mohawk Indians that boarded that ship back around 1773 and threw a bunch of tea in the harbor. Seems like a handful of people can have an impact or an influence on society. And I'm wondering if this is something we should do. You know, we should have a national ID card burning ceremony or you know
something.
It doesn't have to be necessarily. You know, we start pointing guns and as lone individuals, you know. Pick out our target at 500 yards and drop them. Although that may not be a bad idea at some point, you know, I'm not excluding that.
No, when things, you know, bad comes to worse, and sometimes that's all that's left. But if it does, if it does get that bad, though, we've probably lost already. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but we might be that much closer to win.
If we let the Republic slip out of our hands, and that's all that's left, it's probably. You know, I don't know. I have mixed feelings about it, but you don't hear much about this in the news, and it's just an underhanded way of doing something that they're not authorized to do it anyhow. You know, national ID. It's probably a document that's only necessary, and they'll probably territorial legislation in the first place, and of course they'll twist it into being valid into the sovereign states.
Hmm.
But it's where anyway you can throw some sawdust into the machinery of big government. I without drawing blood, of course, I support it. Keep them at bay.
All right, Paul. We really appreciate the call this morning. Is there anything else you wanted to talk about, or was that it?
No, I think that's enough for one morning. I have to get another cup of coffee.
All right. Well, I usually need to.
Listen, I appreciate your whole show. Doing a great job. And on the internet, at least, it sounds clear as a bell. Sounding good.
Well, make sure you tell all your friends about Christian Worldview and the Tyranny Response Network. Appreciate your support, Paul, and we look forward to talking with you again in the future.
Okay, thank you very much. Y'all have a good day.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Wow, we had a call. Now, I will say, we here at TRN, we did what we could to stop the passing of that bill. We had the Tyranny Response Network plane fly into Washington, D.C. airspace yesterday. But it was either too late or too early because they still passed it.
Well, I thought we had our backup pilot there. Didn't actually know where he was going.
We need like a, you know, if we had like a pilot and a plane like every day or twice a day, we could keep Congress from passing any more stupid laws.
Yeah, he might have been on a cell phone calling. You know, these guys, when they ever do these suicide bomb attacks, they want to make sure their life insurance is paid up so their family gets some money. But I think he may have found out his life insurance hadn't quite cleared yet.
That might be it.
I
think he was just some moron. He didn't know what he was doing.
Yes, it had nothing to do with the Tyranny Response.
Can you imagine being a new pilot flying along? Here come these F-16s.
I don't think
he had to change his pants when he landed?
He, well,
my goodness.
Yeah.
be scary.
Yeah, I guess it would be. Well, and speaking of other news, is anybody keeping track of these number of killings every day? I should actually get my adding machine out. Iraq bomb kills 17 this morning, killed 8 yesterday, or earlier this morning. Then they upped the number to 17. So every morning, I think it was 60 yesterday, and the day before was 29. I don't remember all the numbers. Somebody should keep track of the chaos.
It's good old peaceful Islam.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
You know what? There is the... somebody put up a website. It's like Religion of Peace body count or something like that. That does keep track of all that.
That would be interesting to look at. You know, actually, it's not just Islam that does this, by the way. The mass murderers of the 20th century were not Islamic. Stalin, Mao, Pol Pot. Well, we could say even our producer's yelling out there, George W. Bush. He put him in the list, not me. Actually, you've heard me mention the names of these kind of scoundrels all on the same list. But it's not just Muslims that kill each other. It's people that are purportedly living in so-called Christian countries or countries with a Christian background. Now, I don't think Stalin had any particular religion, but it certainly wasn't Islamic. We know that for sure. And
That's true. Right now, most of the chaos in the world involves Muslims.
It actually involves George W. Bush more than anything, though.
He didn't start it, though.
Well, I don't know. We've had this chaos in Iraq. We would have had Saddam over there, and that was supposedly pretty bad, if we can believe what the news media says. And I think he was an evil, nasty dictator type guy, and it's good to have him removed. But I'm not sure that the chaos in Iraq is any worse now than it was then. Frankly, I don't know. Somebody else might have another comment about that. What's our next story up for the line? We have a couple more announcements to make. We don't want to forget about, we need to tell folks about things like this that are happening the same day. You're invited to attend the monthly business meeting of the Greenville County Libertarian Party and Upstate Libertarian Society on tonight, May 12th, from 6:30 to 8 p.m. in the Prime Sirloin on Woodruff Road across from the Greenville Mall in Greenville, South Carolina. The meeting is where we plan events and activities in Greenville County and the surrounding area. Please join us and help us promote the libertarian philosophy here in the upstate. Laird Miner, vice chair of the Greenville County Libertarian Party, will be conducting the meeting. Hope to see you there, Lee Ott, chairman. So tonight, if you can make it out from 6:30 to 8, the Libertarian Party would like to see you at Prime Sirloin. You can get the dessert bar in case you don't want to eat a big meal. I think the dessert bar is only $2. If you get the whole meal, I think it's $7.50. I think you're required to buy a meal if you go, so make sure you don't have dinner before you head out that way. What's next up there, boss?
Well, I was going to say, if you forget those details, you can go to the website, tyrannyresponse.com. That's tyrannyresponse.com. Are we up on a break yet?
I think we need to continually remind people about that website.
Tyrannyresponse.com.
And again?
Tyrannyresponse.com.
Okay. It's not tyrannyresponse.net yet, but we're still pushing for that. But we've got we're cool, right? Isn't that the word? So we've got the .com up there first.
.com's the way to go, baby.
Yeah, okay, so... At any rate, you're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, and co-hosting this week with me is Rippin' Richie.
I bet
Williams.
You're starting to regret that decision, aren't you?
Oh, I regretted it after the first. No, I'm just kidding. I'm glad to have Richie on the show here. It's been a pleasure all week. We're hoping to have more good stuff for you coming up soon here when we get back from the break on Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben.
You're listening to TRN.
Public schools will never excel because they lack intellectual capital, and have to compensate for too many social problems. Daniel Golden.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. Is it okay for a Christian to become wealthy? Did you know that 8 out of 10 Americans will face retirement with little or no savings, even Americans who had good incomes? At Integrity Group, we are dedicated to providing personalized service, finding effective ways to protect and increase your hard-earned money. Integrity Group is an independent financial planning firm that offers a wide range of services. We specialize in finding creative, custom solutions to meet the needs of each individual. Do you have concerns about providing for your retirement? Do you want to ensure that catastrophes like disability or long-term care will not wipe out your savings? Do you need to have your assets protected from creditors? Do you want tax-advantaged growth of your savings? At Integrity Group, we recognize that time passes all too quickly. Sound financial planning is not something to be delayed. Our offices are located at 514 Pettigrew Street in downtown Greenville. Make an appointment with Integrity Group today at 864-244-6464. That's 864-244-6464.
Life, liberty, and property do not exist because men have made laws. On the contrary, it was the fact that life, liberty, and property existed beforehand that caused men to make laws in the first place. Frederick Bastier.
Warning. Dr. Coben's show is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177.
Welcome to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Dr. Coben is an author, columnist, financial planner, and international lecturer. He holds a Ph.D. degree in public policy, M.A. degrees in economics and business economics, and is a graduate of Reformed Bible College. Dr. Coben is an outspoken critic of public schools, government regulation, the IRS, paper money, welfare, and abortion. An evangelical Christian and the father of six homeschooled children, Dr. Coben is applauded by listeners across America and around the world as a champion of liberty, limited government, free markets, and peace. Now let's join Dr. Coben with Christian Worldview.
And today is May the 12th, and if you're listening between 7:30 and 9 o'clock a.m., we are live. Yes, live, and there'll be repeats different times during the day. All right, the studio number to call in to be on the show, 201-6955. That's 201-6955. This is your chance to be a star, to be on the radio. Our website, new website, is tyrannyresponse.com. That's tyrannyresponse.com. All right, by the way, I'm Rippin' Richie, co-hosting this week with Dr. John Coben. Have an announcement to make here.
Just to remind folks real quick, Richie, that we are in the 864 area code. We just had a caller from Atlanta, and some of you guys may not know that Greenville has its own area code. It does, and it's 864, and that's where you need to insert those numbers before you dial into the show line, 201-6955.
I refuse to recognize those federally imposed area codes. All right, turns out they got homeschool day at Six Flags. Wait, Six Flags Marine World, what is that?
It's an underwater Six Flags, I guess. I don't know. I have no idea.
Homeschool Day at Six Flags Marine. I didn't know there was a Six Flags Marine World. I just moved back down south. As I said, I've been stranded up north for the past 7 years. Is this at the same place outside of Atlanta off of 20?
I believe so. My kids have been down there. They love having homeschool kids there. In fact, they say
they love anybody that has money.
Well, it's not just that. The park has no crime, no violence. They're completely clean. They have these accolades for homeschool kids when they go down there. They love having the homeschoolers there. In fact, not only are the homeschoolers there, but colleges are lined up in droves, apparently, in booths, trying to recruit these kids to come to study at their college.
Wow.
So it's a big day down there for homeschoolers, and the park loves us.
Well, it's going to be May 27th this year, Friday, May 27th. And when is the Freedom Weekend Aloft? That's going to be right after that, isn't it?
Freedom Weekend Aloft. Not sure what that is.
That's, what? You don't know what Freedom Weekend Aloft is? Oh, you've actually lived here less than I have, because I was here like 10 years, from like 75 to...
I've been from the true south, as I said, and I've only moved here 3 years ago or so.
Okay. Yeah. All right, so Friday, May 27th, Six Flags Marine World is having homeschool day.
$18.99, isn't that what it costs?
$18.99 per person.
What's the number they call to get in?
That's $29 off the regular general admission price. What a deal. You can save time by ordering online. Go to sixflags.com, and in the upper right-hand corner, enter home, SCH. As your promo code, and click go. Maybe we should put this information on the website. If you already have Adobe Acrobat installed on your computer, click continue, proceed with the order process. You can order online at sixflags.com. The promo code, once again, is HOMESCH. And let's see, we look forward to seeing you at homeschool day. Wait a minute. John?
What?
Look at this.
What's it say?
Six Flags Marine World is located in Vallejo, California.
Oh, thanks a lot, buddy.
We're on the East Coast here, man.
All right, whoever's sending us email about stuff that goes on in California, let us know ahead of time so we don't have to read the whole ad.
Man.
There is a homeschool day coming up. Go to SixFlags.com and find out when the one's heading off in Atlanta. So, we're never going
to
read
that.
If
you want to make the trip to Valley Joe,
Rip and Richie has ripped up the homeschool day ad. I'll tell you.
Oh boy. Well, our website is tyrannyresponse.com. That's tyrannyresponse.com. The number to call in again is 864-201-6955. Sorry for wasting your time, except for our webcast listeners in California. I hope you enjoy homeschool day. let's talk about, you know what? I want to talk about third party, whether or not we have a chance with the voting third party. We had a caller yesterday who seemed to be like-minded as we are about these issues of liberty, but seemed to think we didn't have much of a chance by voting for third party. And I strongly disagree. I think as the conservatives get more and more liberal in their quest for votes, they're going to turn off more and more people. And I think those of us who believe in liberty have to stop being so pessimistic, and because that pessimism is the reason that so few people will go ahead and vote third party. So we have to, those of us that know better, need to do what's right. And instead of, you know, the lesser of two evils is still evil. Now, and this has to do partly with your worldview. I mean, if you believe that God wants us to do the right thing, then do the right thing. And it's not about just what's expedient, but what is just. And if those of us that know to do right, if we do it and we vote for the right candidate, even if they are a third party, then we can start to affect the change. Now, the way I see it happening is those of us that feel like the Republican Party has definitely gone astray and may have never been really on course. If we start voting third party and start taking votes away from them, then they're either going to have to straighten out and give us better candidates, or they're just going to keep losing, and then we will have a viable third party. I mean, just because during our lifetime we've only had two political parties, that doesn't mean that's the way it's going to be forever. What were the political parties before? I mean, this nation once started off with the Democrats and Republicans.
Well, one of our board members, Gene Papke, has gone on record as saying several times, you know, look, all that matters is that I have to do what's right before God. If God chooses to still put in place a tyrant or a fool as president, for instance, then that's God's business. But what our business is not to vote according to pragmatism or vote for someone who's evil, but to vote principally. And I think it's a good point. And let me also point out that we've had a third-party victory in this country that's been a phenomenal success as far as they're concerned. It happened in the 1800s, and it was the election of none other than Abraham Lincoln. You realize that the two parties at the time were not the Republican and Democrat Party. The Republican Party was a third party, and it basically took apart the Whig Party and joined in some other radicals and so forth to create the Republican Party. But what ended up happening is the Democratic Party, which was the main party, was split into two sections, allowed Lincoln to gain the presidency with, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, 36% of the vote. So a third party actually did win in American history and had a profound effect. In fact, as far as the left is concerned, it's been not only profound, it's been wonderful, because he destroyed the vision of the founders. He brought in things that were completely foreign and alien to our nation, the loss of property rights as we understood them in a allodial sense before then, and brought in taxation in a greater degree, and also more and more regulation. So third parties can win. It's just a matter of putting together a movement that's enough to debilitate the Republican Party, pull people out, let my people go, pull them out, let Pharaoh and whoever else is running these days the Republican Party, let the people of God go. Come on out, realize you've been duped by George W., and vote for a principled party and a third party.
No, you're doing it all wrong.
We got sound effects. This is more and more like a real radio show with the sound effects and the fake announcements. And all right, I've been duped by George Bush and many others. And you know, the Republican Party, as far as our chances of changing the Republican Party, I mean, they will do whatever it takes to win. I mean, they will do whatever it takes to win, even if it means doing the right thing. They would even do that.
If
it would mean that they win.
You was crazy, Papa!
The Republican Party is slimy. You know, one thing we're going to have to do is...
We've got Ron Paul. remember.
Yeah, well, Ron Paul is the exception for the rule, obviously, but we do like Ron Paul. Before we want to see any bombs dropping on the Capitol building, and we do that might not be a bad thing to have happen, especially when full Congress is in session. We want to make sure Ron Paul's at a long bathroom break in some other room, some other building. Well, that's a pretty radical statement. Do we really want to bomb the Capitol?
Over the edge again there, buddy. Yeah. No, we want to save the Capitol and keep it in good shape for when our people are in there.
Yeah, that's right. The Jimmy Carter's neutron bomb would work all right for that. What about anthrax? I guess that would clean them out. I'd get rid of all the secretaries and lawyers. I think that some of these lawyers that actually write the laws, you know, or the legislation, they're probably just as dangerous as these politicians that are up there. Anyway, yeah, we're over the edge here this morning. Well, you know, I want to get back to one other thing, if I don't mind, Richard. We have when listeners send us emails, we want to make sure we read those. And I forgot to do the weather at 8 o'clock. You know, you came back from the show, and I forgot. I was going to jump in and do the weather, and I didn't do it.
And now here's John Coben with the weather.
If we were trying to tell you the weather, so we can be so sensitive to people trying to get ready for work, wanting to know, and being tempted to switch stations to find out what the weather is going to be like, and we don't want that.
Well, we got 65 degrees, maybe.
It's about the mid 60s.
Going
right
to get
now.
Up to the high 80s.
That you got it. Somewhere, we're depending where you are in the Upstate, planning on being over 90 again because they always underestimate the weather. Trying to make people feel better about the day and forget about the fact they're living in the deep south. And I guess this is deep south. This is deep south. We're sort of deep.
Deep
south.
Enough.
Yeah, we're somewhere. We're halfway south, at any rate. It'll be warm day today, and it'll be sunny, so you won't have any worries about the weather. Well, here we got a email today from Pastor Tony Romo, who runs the Institute for the Constitution, and he says he wanted to bring up a couple of things that were talked about last night, or not last night now, but on Monday night. He says, first of all, if the Second Amendment guarantees the freedom to keep and bear arms, why the different permits? Can we keep and bear armored tanks, nuclear missiles, etc.? Well, this is an interesting question from a constitutional point of view, and the answer, I think, is yes. You should be able to keep and bear any kind of arm. Now, if people think, well, what about nuclear arms? Well, the fact is, and nuclear missiles, it's not that inexpensive to get one of these things. It's not that easy to have one. And as soon as you do begin to start building one of these devices, if you were wealthy enough to do it and have the scientific know-how to put together some kind of biological, chemical, or other weapon of mass destruction, like a nuclear bomb, you're going to have some neighbors that are very concerned with you, and they're going to take it as a potential threat, and you might find yourself under attack. Even at the thought of doing this sort of thing. So in the market system itself and in the vision of the Founding Fathers, the level of destructibility or weaponry that's available under the Second Amendment is not truly a problem, I think. What do you think about that, Rich? Do you think you want the government to uphold the Second Amendment but not for weapons of mass destruction?
In other words, is there a place where we draw the line?
Yes.
And that's a tough one. Of course, the Founding Fathers probably couldn't have imagined something like a nuclear bomb. What's the biggest thing they had back then was a cannon.
Yeah.
And I'm sure they were not opposed to someone having their own cannon.
Or ships, for that matter. You know, the men of war and whatnot. They wouldn't have been opposed to anyone having their own private militia in any way.
Yeah. So as far as, they definitely would have been in favor of, most of our weapons, if not all. But I don't know if I want some of these leftist anarchists running around with anthrax or something like that.
Well, if we had a true Second Amendment and these leftists started coming up with stuff like that, then they would have a war on their hands. They'd be shot at by the rest of us.
Well, do you have to wait until they use it before you?
I don't think so. A guy brandishes his weapon at me in the street. I'm not going to wait and see if he points it at me. I'm gonna brandish mine real fast and make sure it's cocked back and ready to fire. You know, I mean it's foolish.
So if your neighbor has a cannon sitting in his living room and he points it out the window at your house, then you're going to take some type of action then.
Well, yeah, or if you notice he has a big crane, they're digging a 150 foot hole, and then cement trucks come out and they start building the missile silo, and you start watching this day after day, and then he starts getting the metal craft coming out and he's piecing the thing together, and you might go over and knock on his door and say, what are you doing out there with that thing back there? You planning to bomb somebody? Now, if he says, look, all I'm doing is pointing it at Washington D.C. for when they get out of hand. The only place this is going to be aimed is them. I'm not intending to use this on innocent people. It's only for criminals. Then I'm probably going to let him have his missile. I mean, what do I care if we have missiles pointed at Washington, D.C.?
What?
You know, these are the people, the big thugs that are damaging our lives. The whole point of the Second Amendment is to get whatever arms we can pointed at these people so they behave.
But at which point is it okay to take force against them? I mean, you believe it's okay to take force against them before they actually pull the trigger?
Well, right now they're already pulling the trigger. They try to confiscate a lot of money and so forth.
Well, not the government. I mean, we're talking about these individuals having their arms.
Oh, yeah. Well... It's an interesting question. Maybe our caller. We have a caller on the line here. Lots of calls this morning. Glad that you're calling Christian Worldview this morning. This is Dr. John Coben. Who am I speaking with?
Hello. Yes. Yeah, you're breaking up.
Oh,
this is Chuck.
Oh, hello, Chuck. Thanks for calling this morning. What's your thought for the day? You have an idea of whether or not we should be able to aim missiles at Washington?
Well, I have no interest in doing that myself.
Okay.
And no missiles to aim as it happens.
Yeah, all right, okay. But should people be prohibited from doing it who have the wherewithal that want to put a big check against the government to be able to aim a missile at Washington?
Well, it's funny. I think the big missile is information. You know, in a lot of the heavily status countries like Romania, they were famous for confiscating typewriters. And it wouldn't let you have access to... any way of publishing it. The media is always tightly controlled in these countries, which tells you a lot. The biggest enemy of tyranny is information.
Right. Okay. But theoretically, would you be opposed? I mean, information is our best way to combat these goofs. There's no question about it. But say some guy who's really patriotic and believed in the vision of the founders wanted to own a missile, and he lived in... We're getting some sound effects here that are unusual. You're not in Iraq this morning, are you, Chuck?
No. Well, I'm in an industrial area. I think you just heard a boiler.
Okay, all right. Well, we weren't sure there's car bombs going off in Iraq. glad you're still with us. At any rate, so let's say there's some guy in West Virginia decides to build a missile silo and have a missile aimed right at the White House or something, or a nuclear device on it that could wipe out the whole city. Would we be against that or for it, theoretically, under the Second Amendment?
I think you'd have to be against it. I can't imagine that we were actually in favor of offensive weapons, in that sense. Plus, I think as a Christian worldview, we always have to be concerned about the loss of innocent life. I mean, that's been one of the discussions with Iraq, hasn't it?
It sure has,
Where there may have been some good thought behind Iraq, there've been an awful lot of casualty of innocent people.
So it doesn't. Does the existence of the possibility of innocent lives being harmed cause an automatic restriction on a weapon? Because you might make the same case for a handgun. An innocent victim could be killed. Or are you saying that the weapon cannot be used without the loss of innocent life, and therefore those kind of weapons should be banned? You can't have private individuals have them.
I would. I don't know how you reconcile that with the Second Amendment. That's an interesting problem. That's why we have an amendment process. I think it's terrible that we just tend to disregard the parts of the Constitution we don't like. Mm. We do need to go through the procedure when something's inadequate, and probably the Second Amendment isn't adequate for something like the case of nuclear weapons.
Yeah. Well, if it's not good for us to have those weapons, and I think you're convincing me, we have just been thinking about this morning on the show. I don't think I want people to have the ability to kill innocent people at all. That's a bad deal. When they drop some kind of bomb, I think you have a good point there. But why should government itself be able to have these weapons then? I mean, there's no way to stop them from having it. I realize now that they're already in the world sphere, but they are the ones who can use them and kill innocent people as well.
Yeah, in theory, there's no good reason for that either, because as we discussed before the Civil War, it was widely held opinion that civilians should be kept out of warfare. They should be between belligerent armies. And these days, that's pretty much impossible to do with something as broad as a nuclear weapon.
Now, you used a word that's foreign to us here at Christian Worldview. Define for us what you mean by civil war, please.
Yeah, what is that?
The war of northern aggression.
Okay, and it's really, we've learned from DiLorenzo, it's really the war of Yankee aggression, because there were plenty of good northerners who were sympathetic to the cause of the South. But I appreciate you for clarifying that for us. Well, what do you think, Richie? What do you think about Chuck here? Or do you have something else you were going to add to, Chuck? Maybe we should let Richie comment on this and then go to your question.
Go ahead.
Yeah, that's something that I've thought about a little bit. You know, I actually have a good friend of mine who does the website for Gun Owners of America. Maybe we should get him on the show and see what he thinks about it.
That would be a great idea, see what he has to say. Nuke Owners of America, Missile Owners of America. It could be a new organization we'd start here. Well, Chuck, what else did you have on your mind today?
Well, I did want to also follow up on the idea about Charles Ponzi. I wanted to note that it's really impressive how much government manages to achieve with what you can get done when you have the power to do it. That ordinarily a Ponzi scheme will burn itself out in a fairly short time. And here this thing has gone on for, was it, 80 years? I mean, it's a very mature system. And even the pessimistic projections don't have it running out of money for another 5 or 6 years.
Well, if you keep looting people enough, it can go on for a long time. I mean, if Charles Ponzi could actually have confiscated 15% of the earnings of all people in the country, he would have been able to carry on his scheme a lot longer. And that's what's been able to happen. They keep raising the rate. I don't remember what it was when it originally came out, but I believe it was less than 2% or something like that of payroll. So it's grown over
time. That's right,
and
there were people that had been contributing for less than a year that retired with full benefits.
That's right. Oh, that's how the Ponzi scheme works. And
yeah, phenomenal returns for the early entrants. Mm-hmm.
And the rest of people get stung. Well, the rest of the people just grow up and figure out, well, we've just been looted and taxed and plundered like this, and they told us it was a contribution, and it's really not. And they just, you know, wake up and say, oh, well, it's a loss. I've been robbed, and you go on and do the best you can. What else can we do? You know, it's a nice thing if we just start getting people to realize it, though, that what's really been happening to them is not they're not been going to the mutual fund.
It's amazing what we're willing to put up with if it's official. You know, the ordinarily by this stage you're getting the tar heated up and the feathers ready, but because it's official, it's okay.
Yeah. Well, we got a lot of people out there who hold to a divine right perspective who are Christians who just believe, hey, this is what the government that is doing. That's what God gave us, and we just need to obey it. And comply and just go along our merry way. And it's a sad thing. We don't hold to that here at the Tyranny Response Network or Christian Worldview, but it is indeed the case for most Christians or professing Christians.
That's right. I think one of the good pieces of news in that whole situation, too, is if you listen to Dave Champion or Pete Hendrickson, there is a way out. That because most people aren't really taxpayers, they wouldn't have, the taxes they don't have to pay include the Social Security and Medicare taxes.
That's right. Well,
anyway, enjoying your show. Thanks for taking my call.
Okay, did you have a comment on any other thing to say, Richie? You're sitting there with your
Well, I'd like to hear more about that tax thing.
Well, Chuck, you want to give us some more insight into your tax, the tax thing you're mentioning with Pete Hendrickson?
I'm sorry, I couldn't hear you very well. Did you ask me something?
Yeah, do you want to well, Richie wanted some more information on the tax thing that you mentioned with Pete Hendrickson. You might want to share a little bit more about that before you go.
Okay, yeah, we've got some spots on TRN, Dave Champion. It's originalintent.org. He also has nontaxpayer.org. And they provide services to people who are not taxpayers. Now, you have to decide for yourself if that's you or not. But essentially, if you're not working in an occupation that's privileged by being licensed by the federal government or, let's say, being a military contractor or something like that, you're working in an occupation of common life, which is by the Constitution not taxable. Hmm. And this has been upheld by the courts.
Okay.
That covers an awful lot of people who have been led to believe that they are taxable.
Yeah, I've heard.
He's doing great work putting that word out. And particularly the distinction between Champion and Hendrickson. Hendrickson will tell you most of the same information and has put it in book form, which is really nice. But Champion actually has an organization to support the people who want to act on it. Where Hendrickson just kind of said, no, I'm just putting out information.
Yeah, I've heard things like that before, and I would be interested in hearing more about it. I mean, if you work at Walmart, though, or something like that, how would you go about, would they agree not to take that out of your paycheck?
Some employers will and some won't.
Okay, so that probably rule out a lot
I'm thinking
people.
The first step is to file that way. You can refute the W-2. The W-2 is essentially an incorrect statement, generally. Mm-hmm. You can refute that, and then the next step the ones that we're aware of where people have done a lawful return refuting the W-2 have been accepted.
That's interesting. Well, we should do a show on that sometime.
I think that's an important piece of evidence you can provide to the employer. Say, look, I don't have a tax obligation. There's no reason for you to deduct from my paycheck.
Well, I'd like to do a show on that sometime and maybe have someone from the other side see what they would say. I mean, a lot of people are really skeptical about that.
From the dark side.
I've always been concerned that, I mean, I understand that the income tax is unconstitutional. I'm just worried that whatever judge I'm standing before will not understand that.
You mean he might also be unconstitutional?
Yeah, and then I have to go to jail. That would be my concern.
Well, you join the thousands that went before you to jail. John Bunyan is a good example, and there are many others. So
yeah, there's an interesting topic on Russ and Lisa this morning. I do listen to other talk shows sometimes.
There are no other talk shows.
A woman in Germany who was very glad to get arrested because her sorry husband wouldn't support her, and she wanted a break from her kids and her job. So she thought 3 months in jail sounded pretty good. Interesting perspective.
Yeah. Well, tomorrow call Russ and Lisa and mention what we were talking about, okay?
Okay, good deal.
Okay. All right, well, appreciate the call, Chuck. We're coming up against the break here on Christian Worldview. Yeah, we'll talk to you again, Chuck. Thanks a lot for the call. We'll be back in just a couple minutes with the continuation of Christian Worldview.
You're listening to TRN. Tired of superficial and dull talk radio? Try some ear candy for thinking people. Listen to Liberty Minute with Dr. John Coben.
This is Dr. John Coben. Visit policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net on the web. You'll find there books and articles written by Dr. John Coben, that's me, the Tyranny Response Unit, regarding things related to covenant marriage, allodial land titles, and free market economics. You'll also find there portraits of famous economists, including their biographical information and links to their famous works, as well as many, many quotations for liberty. Visit policyofliberty.net on the web today and find a wealth of information to help advancement of the truth.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. You're listening to the Tyranny Response Network. Go ahead. Make your day.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. As many of you know that the Tyranny Response Network is listener-supported, and here's Gene Papke to tell you how you can support the Tyranny Response Network.
That's right, John. Folks, if you support TRN and you want to help financially, here's how. We at TRN are a listener-supported broadcast, but we don't take a notions, potions, and lotions approach to fundraising. If you own, operate, or work for a company with bad paper, that is non-performing assets, we can turn that garbage into gold. Simply go to our website, NP Pros, that's N as in non, P as in profit, PROS as in professionals, your non-profit professionals, that's nppros.com. And remember, we raise funds, but without fundraisers.
Log on today to www.nppros.com and find out how you can be a vital part in supporting the Tyranny Response Network.
I contend that for a nation to try to tax itself into prosperity is like a man standing in a bucket and trying to lift himself up by the handle. Winston Churchill.
We'll bring you back.
All right, we're back. It's Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, and we do have on the line our guest, Dr. Stephen Yates.
Yeah, but before we get to that, we're not going to forget to do the weather, so Stephen can be just patient there for just a minute.
Oh, the weather.
The
again.
Weather. We got to tell people about the weather. The mid-60s right now in the upstate, going to get up to the high 80s, probably means mid-90s, and the upstate, it's going to be a beautiful sunny day. Okay, now that I said that, We can welcome Stephen to the show. Stephen, we've been talking about all sorts of things today that relate to the Christian worldview, like whether the institutionalized church is part of the ordained strategy for the kingdom of God here in the world, Ben Graydon's article earlier on, and some other things like the use of weapons of mass destruction. But we're so excited to have you on the show today, one who has a PhD in philosophy, who can maybe tell us a little bit about the difference between materialism and what really the Christian worldview is. I mean, after all, we have a lot of new listeners this week, as the range has been increased. people are probably wondering, what does it mean to have a Christian worldview? Can you enlighten us a little bit?
Well, I can certainly try. First, I do want to mention that I have a book on the subject that should be out sometime this summer, if I can get all of those last-minute corrections done. But anyway, I guess the first question to raise is, what is a worldview, Christian or otherwise? What sorts of questions does it raise? What sorts of questions does it answer? And things like that. So it answers questions like, in the general sense, what kind of world is this? Does God exist, or does some kind of God exist? Does the universe have any kind of a plan, or is it all just random events? What's human nature like? Do we have free will, or is everything just fated, destined to happen regardless of what we do? What's the moral life? Should I live for tomorrow or just for the pleasures of the moment? Questions, there's a whole slew of questions like that. I could continue indefinitely. That all of them are embodied in this notion of having a worldview. And, of course, a Christian worldview will answer those questions one way, and a materialistic or naturalistic worldview will answer them another way. One thing to note, looking at materialistic and naturalistic worldviews, they purport to reject the existence of God. They say that there is no God, but nevertheless they erect some kind of surrogate in God's place. Frequently that's the state, and yes. I think some of the issues that came up on the show earlier this morning at least touched on that at certain points. We turn to government. Other possible surrogates are science, individual liberty identified as, or rather misidentified, as the freedom to do anything I want to do, is another possible surrogate, because clearly a free society can't work that way. You can't define liberty being a social value. Freedom can't mean freedom to do just whatever we want. So materialism, or naturalism if you prefer, always has some kind of surrogate god or another, and that seems to militate in favor of some kind of a Christian worldview.
What do you suppose the surrogate gods that are so so important today to people are? What are some examples besides the state itself? Would you also include something like public education? Could it be down that far? Or what are some examples of the surrogate gods?
Additional examples?
Yes, sir.
Let me see. I think that those are... Did I mention science?
Yes.
Some people believe that, technology is a possible example. The idea that scientific method is some kind of a... I can't think of the term I'm fishing for here. That it can do anything, and that any problem that's a genuine problem can be solved by some kind of technological or technical means.
Okay.
Now, I went to a conference about 2 months ago, a little over 2 months ago now. I think I did an article on this for the Times Examiner, where they were discussing nanotechnology and what they call transhumanism, the idea of using technological means to change human nature. There's a group of scientists that takes this notion quite seriously, that we can fundamentally change our basic nature by technical or technological means.
Okay.
So that would be another example.
All right, so you're saying those are the popular views that people have today in America, for instance. People who are not Christians would hold to a worldview, just to summarize, that they have a surrogate god, something else that is that they look to either as something they worship or they trust in or confide in some way. It would be the state, technology, and the ability of science. Those are the three main areas that people would confide in today.
That's correct.
Okay, and so tell us.
Return to, you mentioned trust. Just about everybody, as far as I can tell, just about everybody defines meaning, or their life acquires meaning and significance through identification with something larger than themselves.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so tell us more then. What exactly is the Christian worldview? We believe there is a God and someone who orders society. And I'm not sure that free will. You mentioned that earlier. There are differences of opinion versus, you know, Reformed or Calvinistic and Arminian strains on
the
issue.
Well, yeah, I don't know if that's the best example, but
okay.
Speaking generally, if you want to know what a Christian theistic worldview looks like or sounds like, it, I'd say it had the following basic components. The first one, obviously, God exists, and that the God of the Bible created the world ex nihilo, and is separate from the creation, but simultaneously he's intimately involved with it. And then second, human beings are created in God's image. And third, moral values originate with God's commands and can't really have any other or a point of origin. Now we mentioned humans being created in God's image, but man chose to go his own way. He turned away from God's will, as the story in Genesis informs us. So that leads to our next component, that we're a fallen race, a fallen species. We're sinners in need of redemption. And then that's the bottom line. This explains the ills of society and the world's injustices and possibly even the seeming hostility of the universe. Read Genesis 3, 17, 19.
Okay, so just to summarize, Stephen, a Christian worldview says that there is a God who exists, who created the world, and who's still personally involved with the world, and
yeah.
Yet beyond that, man was created, who fell into sin, and I believe you'd also say that Jesus Christ is the focal point of history and the only important piece of history in the sense of man's redemption and ultimately giving him his purpose for living, and the Christian worldview differs from the materialistic worldview. Specifically on that point, very, very radically, and that Christians ought to be involved with their world, not only to glorify God, but to promote promote Jesus Christ. I would think. If I got it right here, I should have it right, but I want to make sure that I
concur with that. My account wasn't fully complete on there, but.
No, you did a great job. I sometimes a lot of our listeners, they need to, and even many of us, we need to hear it two or three times before we really grasp something. And so I just wanted to repeat what you said. Let's have a test case. Richie, did you get what Stephen said here? Are you you're not glazed over, are you, or anything? You've got your arms folded there looking like...
No, I'm soaking it in, man.
Oh,
I'm soaking it in.
Okay, but you're able to comprehend. You think our typical listener is going to be able to understand what a Christian worldview is now?
Yeah, well, yeah, I think most of them, they should, yeah.
Okay.
I'd like to ask, how do we apply that, since we talk about politics a lot on this show, how do we apply that Christian worldview to our political decisions and our political choices?
Go ahead, Stephen.
For me or for John?
I think it's for you. You're the man of the hour, so go for it.
That's a tough question. One of the things we need to avoid doing is looking to government to solve all of our problems. The first thing we need to do is recognize our own fallibility and pray about what our problems are, or what our issue really is, and recognize that government is almost never going to be the solution to it. Somebody, one of the callers, mentioned this national ID thing that is being pushed through Congress right now. The only person I know of who has strenuously opposed it is Senator Ron Paul, whom you also mentioned. Ron Paul is a Christian, I do believe,
yes,
as well
so.
As a libertarian.
Right. He's one of us few Christian libertarians out there that you hear about, any rate. Yeah.
And we have to constantly orient our issues like that one or some of these trade agreements, which I've been heavily involved in over the past few weeks, and just recognize that within a Christian framework in the long run, these are going to create more problems than they're going to solve.
What would you say to people that accuse Christians of wanting to legislate their morality?
I would say that that Christians should make a public case for Christian morality, obviously. But here is where the libertarian in me comes to the fore. Once you have made that case, it's time to step aside and let the other person make their decision. Their decision is either going to be thumbs up towards what you've said or thumbs down. If their response is thumbs down, then within the conceptual framework of a free society, I don't think there's really any alternative except to let them go their own way. Now, there is a chance in the future that they may come around. They may recognize that going their own way, again, creates more problems than it solves. They may come back to you. Sometimes people have to learn the hard way.
Well, that's an excellent comment. I could actually say a little bit more about that. I know we're coming to up to a break here. Maybe we'll go ahead and go to the break. And, Stephen, do you want to hang on the line for a minute?
Sure, I can hang on.
Okay, you're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. On the phone with Dr. Stephen Yates this morning and in the studio here co-hosting with me, Rippin' Richie Williams, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network. It's roughage for your brain.
Contemplate the mangled bodies of your countrymen and then say, what should be the reward of such sacrifices? If ye love wealth better than liberty, the tranquility of servitude than the animating contest of freedom, go from us in peace. We ask not your counsels or arms. Crouch down and lick the hands which feed you. May your chains sit lightly upon you, and may posterity forget that ye were our countrymen. Samuel Adams.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben with Integrity Group. Why is it so difficult for Christians to be good stewards of their finances? We know that God works miracles in people's lives, but He has not chosen to provide manna from above to help us meet our needs as He did with the ancient Israelites. As Christians, we should be leading the way as good stewards. Since we do not spend money on vices like non-Christians do, we should be able to save more. We want to work hard and save our money so that we can have something to give to missions and to the needy. In addition, we want to regularly set aside a portion for retirement. Christians should not have to rely on taxpayer-funded government programs for retirement. No Christian wants to become a burden to their family or church during the ever-lengthening period of old age. At Integrity Group, we are dedicated to providing personalized service, finding effective ways to protect and increase your hard-earned money. We are an independent financial planning firm. We specialize in finding creative custom solutions to meet your savings needs. Our offices are located at 514 Pettigrew Street in downtown Greenville. Make an appointment with Integrity Group today at 864-244-6464. That's 864-244-6464.
The ultimate result of shielding men from the effects of folly is to fill the world with fools. Herbert Spencer, English philosopher, 1820 through 1903.
Sick of having the dead flies of bad public policy stink up the ointment of American liberty? The follies and foibles of the political sages of our day are plucked out daily on Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, weekday mornings from 7:30 to 9 o'clock, right here on 97.7 FM in Greenville.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. Warning. Dr. Coben's show is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis.
Welcome back to Christian Worldview. We've had lots of phone calls this morning. Just to remind you again, the number you just heard is actually our main studio line. It's down today. You need to call us on the backup line, which is 864-201-6955. Well, we wanted to finish up. Stephen Yates, Dr. Stephen Yates, still on the line, PhD in philosophy and professor here in the upstate of South Carolina, a Christian libertarian who we admire and respect very much for his work, was telling us about the Christian worldview, and he wanted to wrap up a little bit on just what the Christian worldview is. So go ahead, Stephen.
Okay, just to kind of wrap up what the Christian worldview is, you begin with the observation that God is at the center. God both exists and is at the center of the universe and created it ex nihilo. He created man in His image, which means that we turned away from God's will and went our own way, and so we're a fallen race in need of redemption. And man can only be saved through the redeeming power of Jesus Christ, in accordance with what's laid down in the Gospels. And then in the last analysis, if we're talking about society and its problems and its issues, really only a godly society, it turns out, a fundamentally godly people can sustain free institutions and a constitutional republic. I think any number of the founding fathers made this point that the Constitution was written for a godly people and isn't really suitable for any other kind of people. And this, the further and further we've gotten away from Christianity, whether it's in the confines of government schools or in a larger sense, the further we've gotten away from the Constitution as well. Hmm. It'd be hard to miss the correlation between those two.
It's a great point. I appreciate you bringing that up. So I hope our listeners have a better understanding now exactly what the Christian worldview is. If you hadn't already, of course, we talk about the Christian worldview or aspects of it every day on Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. But I'm just so happy that, Stephen, you could join us today to give us basically the philosophical overview so people would understand the difference between materialism or naturalism and those worldviews versus our view, what we hold here, the Christian worldview, in which we believe the founding fathers and the whole heritage of the United States of America is built on, that is the Christian worldview, rather than the perversion, the horrible case, which is now intruding and invading our lives today. So thanks so much for the call this morning, Stephen. We appreciate your efforts again, and hope that you have another opportunity when you get another break from your professorial duties to call into the show and share something with us.
Sure thing. Just one more thing. I do have a book on the subject of worldviews. It should be out sometime this summer. Okay. So stay tuned.
What is the title, Stephen, and how can we need to get that? In fact, if you'll send Richie a note on that, I'm sure he'd like to put that on our website. We have a new website, tyrannyresponse.com, and soon it'll be .net, I'm sure. We keep having this discussion in here. But anyway, right now it's a .com because that's the neat thing to be. But if you send us the information, we'll be able, or send Richie the information, and just send it to questions at policyofliberty.net, and we'll make sure Richie gets it.
Okay, I will do that.
What's the title, and how much is it going to cost, and who's publishing it, and so forth? Can you give us that real quickly?
The title of the book is Worldviews, Christian Theism versus Modern Materialism. The publisher is the Worldviews Project, and it should be available sometime during this summer. The exact release date has yet to be determined, but it should be sometime this summer.
Very good. Well, again, thanks so much for joining us today, Stephen, Dr. Stephen Yates, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you for having me.
Well, we had. I wanted to run into this one other question since I was reading Pastor Tony Romo, who had sent in a couple of questions based on the Institute for the Constitution meetings last time, and I know Richie's going to have some interest in this one as well, because neither of us here like the Government Indoctrination Center, aka the public school, very much. As Christians in support of Christian education, this was brought up at the meeting on Monday, in support of Christian education and against government public schools, we sometimes express our views in a spirit of intimidation and disrespect, and maybe with the argument, but lose the convert. We end up condemning the people with kids in the public schools instead of convincing them to get their kids out of the public schools. Our attitude speaks so loudly they can't hear a word we're saying. This is one of those, you hear a lot of touchy-feely kind of responses to things sometimes, and this strikes me as that. What do you think about that, Rich?
Yeah, that's just more liberal whining, right? No, actually, I agree with that. I think that those of us that are right, for example, I know I'm right about everything I believe in, and those of us that know we're right can have a tendency to be obnoxious about it to the point where even people that know we're right won't admit it because they hate us because we act like such jerks.
Okay, well, that's a good way of putting it. And as Christians, we need to be careful in how we present our arguments. There's no question about how we frame things. The Apostle Paul tells us we need to have our speech seasoned with grace or salt, as like grace. And we need to be careful to do that. On the other hand, we have to be careful not to be so mealy-mouthed that we say, look, it's not that bad that you have your kids in the public school. I mean, you know, it's all right. We have to.
Well, you can be nice without lying.
You have to tell them this is sinful and wrong. You may have not realized, and you may not be intending to do evil against God. But look, this is a really bad thing that you're doing, and it's accepted by the church. And we understand how a person could be promoting this and be a Christian because they are not hearing it from the pulpit. But you've got to understand this is a bad deal, and we need to lovingly share this with people. So I mean, you agree with that. You don't think Christians should have anything to do with the public school and with their kids there either.
I believe that kids are their parents' responsibility. I mean, it's our responsibility to raise our children and not the government. And, of course, I know that many people are concerned about their kids being properly socialized. And to those people, I'd say, look, you can still homeschool, Monday through Friday. And then if you want your kids to be exposed to the things, the type of socialization they'd be exposed to at the public school, you can on Friday or Saturday night drop them off down in a bad neighborhood somewhere where they can hang out with prostitutes and drug dealers, and then they'll get the socialization they would get in the public school. You can have it both ways.
They might even get VD along the way and get really socialized.
Yeah, yeah. So the socialization skills that can still come through. I know my kids being homeschooled, they're not properly socialized. If they were to go to buy crack somewhere, they'd probably get ripped off because they don't know what the what the market rate is for that.
Yeah. What would we do on the show without you, Richard? You have a profound way of putting things. Yes, I agree wholeheartedly. The socialization argument is just preposterous. And frankly, you have many options as a homeschool parent or a Christian school parent to get kids involved with other activities that bring them around with other people without infecting them with the diseases that social, psychological, or other kinds of diseases, physiological, that go along with public schooling these days or the government school program. Well, what was that kind of noise, producer?
That was
bad.
You can't handle the truth.
Oh, there we go.
All right. Well, we like that one. Okay. Anyway, so that's our response there to the other question from Pastor Tony Romo. Appreciate you sending that stuff in. By the way, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, you can send us your questions by email. You can send them to questions at policyofliberty.net. Are we going to get a new email address, too, with the tyrannyresponse.com thing? Are we going to always use the Policy of Liberty?
You know, we might get a new email address, but what we should do is just put an email link on tyrannyresponse.com. I'll do that today.
Okay. Well, good. Let's do that. Let's have a link on there. We're expanding our capabilities a lot here, folks, lately. We've got a lot of stuff that's going on to improve our signal. Sorry about the production problems we've had. Just bear with us. It's all for the better. It's going to come out in the end a lot better than what we've had in the past. Right now, we're being heard much further than we ever have been, and that's only going to improve as the next week or so transpires, we hope. We still need of computers. If any of you have some old computers you want to donate or are willing to be led by the Spirit to go down to Best Buy and whip out your debit or credit card or whatever you've got in your wallet.
Amen.
And go ahead and buy a new one for us. You can drop that off with Integrity Group, and we'll make sure it gets to the Tyranny Response Network. The Integrity Group office location in Greenville is 514 Pettigrew Street in Greenville, 29601. If you're going to mail it, they'll still get there the same way. Go ahead and feel free to do that as well.
Yeah, we're trying to upgrade from Windows 98 right now.
Yeah, well, it was only Windows 95 last week, so we upgraded to 98.
Right
now we're
along.
Trying to go a little bit up higher. We're going to try to skip Millennium. We heard that was a bad addition.
Yeah, so, we don't want that.
Yeah. Well, we have one more topic we haven't quite got to today. Why don't you introduce it at least today, Richie, and then we'll maybe cover it tomorrow if we don't
get to. Yeah, I think tomorrow we'll talk about whether or not we can categorize politics just by left and right. I mean, some people say at the far left you have big government, and then at the far right you have big government, so you should stay in the middle, and I'm not sure that's an accurate way to portray things.
Yeah, I don't think that's a proper characterization of the right, the true right. I mean, what's come to be known as right-wing today, which is neocon, is neoconservative, is not truly right-wing. The traditional Burkean conservative, for instance, a true conservative, was often called an isolationist because he wanted very little interaction in foreign policy, and he wanted very little interaction or interference by government in business. So you had a very limited government. You didn't have a big government. And, of course, the classical liberal or the libertarian has always been against big government. And so the right has always been characterized, I think, by a limited government perspective, and it's only been hijacked in recent years, that term, by the neocons. Much in the same way, by the way, liberal used to be a great term, 150 years ago, and it was hijacked. Conservative's been hijacked now. Now the neocons have it, and they're just liberals with conservative clothing on. And then the word, other words like gay, we brought up before. Gay was a nice word. There are people who have first names that are gay, and the last names of gay, and now they're ashamed of it. Why? Because the sodomites have hijacked the name. So the word itself, right, I think if we use it in its proper context, does not mean big government. But we're getting close to the end of the show. Do you have any comments about that? Why don't you close us up here, and we'll take us up tomorrow.
Dr. John, you said it all, buddy. You've about said it all. Our time is up. We'll be back tomorrow. Once again, their website is tyrannyresponse.com. That's tyrannyresponse.com, and I might be here tomorrow. I don't know.
Well,
I might have ruined it today.
Well, You know, when you see, if you wanted to have a picture of what Rippin' Richie looks like, you get a, you know, a basket like the guy in India has, and that cobra that comes up and just mesmerized, goes back and forth with the eyes glazed over. When I've said it all, he's just taking it in. When Stephen Yates is telling him, he's just back and forth, just swaying there.
I'm soaking it up, buddy.
Yeah. We really appreciate your efforts here at the Tyranny Response Network, Richie. And we look forward to seeing all of you folks again tomorrow for the final edition this week of Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Until then, God bless you.
Peace
out. With Dr. John Coben on TRN. Join us again tomorrow morning right here at 97.7 FM on the Tyranny Response Network for Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben with Integrity Group. Let's consider Christian stewardship in terms of financial planning. Saving, eliminating debt, lessening the burdens that can accompany a serious illness or accident. One of the most important reasons that we acquire life, disability, and long-term care insurance is because we want to love our neighbors as ourselves. After all, what kind of testimony do we give if we actually plan to rely on the charity of others? If we love others, especially our church and family members, we should do careful financial planning. Some Christians have 401k plans that need to be rolled over into a better investment alternative. Still others need to protect their wives and children by purchasing some inexpensive life or health insurance. At Integrity Group, we are dedicated to providing personalized service. As an independent financial planning firm with a wide range of products, we're here to help you become a better financial steward. Find out about our many services at 514 Pettigrew Street in downtown Greenville. Make an appointment with Integrity Group today at 864-244-6464. That's 864-244-6464.
Pizza Palace, guaranteed hot in 30 minutes or it's free. This is Mary. May I take your order?
Hi, Mary.